My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Character Concerns Podcast. I am Nick Schwert with Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. This is a big one today, guys.
Because it's your birthday?
Well, it is my birthday.
Oh, it's his actual birthday? I thought that was a joke.
No.
It's real. Well, the company email said that, and also in the bathroom. If you go to the bathroom, it's got the sign.
Oh, yeah, they do get the list in the bathroom.
I do appreciate birthday, that, by man. The way. That's where I like to find. That's where I like people to find out about my birthday.
Well, every time I go to the bathroom, it's like, birthday.
I literally don't tell anybody my birthday, so most people just know because of that. Because of the bathroom thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't, my real name is on the thing, so they don't know it's me. So
it's the copier. That's true.
Yeah, it's good.
Chris is doing a good job kind of staying off the grid here.
I like
changing
that.
The name,
that's why
concealing
I'm in
the birthday.
That's why I'm not on TV.
So that will come into play here in a moment. But we are going to do a mock draft today. Our first mock draft of the draft year. And if you're familiar with Jay Binkley, you know he's been mocking for a long time. How long have you been in the mock game, Jay?
Probably 2013 or 14 was the first one I put out.
It's been as long as I've been here.
Yeah, I used to do a video with each of them, and everybody's asking, where's your mock?
I keep hearing it. People are chattering. People are saying, what's the deal with Bink? Why isn't he mocking?
Because they just want to mock my mock.
Oh, is that what it is?
They didn't mock it when I picked Patrick Mahomes.
No,
they did because they wanted Deshaun Watson.
Your mock was getting mocked when you were picking Patrick Mahomes.
Because they wanted Deshaun Watson. I wanted this guy named Mahomes, you know?
Okay, so here's what we're going to do today, guys. The Chiefs have... Now, let's set the record straight. This part is important because there has been some questions as to exactly how many picks the Chiefs have because of the compensatory picks. They have 10 draft picks, correct?
10 draft picks, the official number. Now, some of these simulators they have, they're still getting 11. I know that we get a lot of those. We do not have 11 picks. Chiefs have 10 picks in the chart. And also, I will say this too, Nick. One thing to follow on draft night and when you're doing your mock or you're talking to your friends, use the Rich Hill trade chart. Just Google Rich Hill trade chart. It's on the draft deck.
I love that
Jimmy Johnson.
He's going to bring up every show now.
No, but you should do this because it shows you the value of what your picks are worth.
Okay, so we're going to be using the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator, which, by the way, does have 10 picks for the Chiefs. So
it's great.
We got the right number of picks. And what this is going to do, it's going to simulate all the other picks that aren't the Chiefs. We, as a group, are going to take turns selecting each pick for the Chiefs. So, for example, pick number 31, one of us will choose. Then the next person will choose the second round pick. The next person will choose the third round, so on and so forth. Now, I think we should be allowed... The other two people who aren't picking should be allowed to maybe voice their opinion. If you want to try and convince that person to go a different direction, that's fine. But ultimately, that decision lies with the person who is picking that round. So Jay was nice enough to give me the first overall pick for my birthday, which is, I mean, one of the best birthday gifts I've ever received, first off. Just want to go ahead and say that. And
pretty nice. Chris, you okay with that?
I'm cool.
Dude, I'm nervous about this.
Why?
Because I think it's going to set the tone for the rest of the draft. And secondly, I think you guys are going to be judgmental of my first pick.
As long as you don't take an offensive lineman, I'm perfectly okay.
Keep in mind, our name's going on this.
Yes. I know.
I mean, our name's
Beat's
going on.
Beat's name is going on this.
Yeah, so when you guys have your show on Cody Gold, you need your little siren going off. The mock draft's been released, first round. I got to justify your stuff. Okay, I have to justify your pick, like I would with the Chiefs.
I'm using the mock draft simulator, so there are some things that are out of my hand, right?
Like
if there's a guy I want who in this simulation goes at pick 26, tough cookies, right? Like I can't just say, well, no, it's my mock draft, so I want him. So
the hardest thing has always been when they do these is the rounds. Like you have a guy picked in the fourth, he actually goes in the sixth or sixth and then the fourth. That's always the toughest thing. This thing kind of keeps you on track a bit, but we all know. Once the NFL teams start drafting, throw everything out the window.
So are we making a rule, no trades, correct?
It's your rule.
I don't think we should do that.
I think maybe if we do this again in a couple of weeks after the dust has settled after free agency and we get a better idea of exactly what each team is working with, maybe at that point it's fair to do trades. Right now I just feel like that's kind of cheating.
I don't see them doing 10, but Brett Veach, I mean, here's the thing. 21 of the last 22 picks. Are still on this roster or the practice squad because Cornell Powell is on the practice. That's unbelievable. They talked about the parade, the 20 and 22. That's true on the active roster, but 21 and 22 actually with the Chiefs in some capacity. The draft has been very kind to the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's face it, this is how they're winning. They had four rookie defensive backs out there. It's insane at the Super Bowl.
Okay, guys. Do we have any questions or comments before we get this thing going? I'm trying to stall because I'm nervous, but if you guys are ready, we can go ahead and...
I've been doing mocks.
Have you been mocking all day?
Late morning. Probably at 10 o'clock, I started mocking.
This is my first mock of the day.
I probably read about each one of them.
Oh, gosh. I'm nervous here. Okay, so we're going to start this. We're going to start the simulation right now, and we're going to see what the draft board looks like at pick number 31 for the Chiefs.
Remember, the board speaks.
And you have to trust the board, correct?
What's it going to say?
All right, so... We have officially started the simulation. We are working our way through the first round. And now, at pick number 31, the Chiefs are on the clock. So just to give you a little bit of idea of who this simulation has going ahead of the Chiefs, I'll just give you the last few picks.
Who do they have going first, by the way? Was it Stroud or Bryce Young? That's the.
They have Bryce Young going first to the Panthers, C.J. Stroud second to the Texans, Jalen Carter third to the Cardinals, and Anthony Richardson fourth to the Colts.
So my personal opinion is, because it's going to be your pick, but wide receiver, what wide receivers are still left?
So I'll tell you which wide receivers.
Out of the top four.
I'll tell you which wide receivers are gone. They have Quentin Johnson being selected 10th overall by the Eagles. Not sure the Eagles would take him, but...
I can see that. Luxury pick. Yeah, I can
maybe
see
so.
That.
And even if it's not him, it's probably a team soon thereafter.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith Enigma's kind of pushed himself to that first receiver. Well,
in this simulation, he goes 11th to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, they need a wide receiver.
Washington needs a receiver, and they have Jordan Addison out of USC going 16th overall. Let's see. Zay Flowers from Boston College going 22nd. And that's it. So four receivers off the board, according to this mock. And receiver is an interesting spot here because that's obviously one of the priorities, I think, for the Chiefs. I think there are two options here. There is receiver. There is edge rusher. To me, those are the top two priorities, I think, on an island, maybe in third, is offensive tackle if you really feel like you don't have an answer at right tackle. But for me, I was going into this thinking I'm taking a receiver or an edge right away. Now, I look at these two positions sitting here on March 20th, and I ask myself, which of these two positions are the Chiefs likely to shore up between now and the draft date in a little over a month? And the answer is wide receiver. I think there are more options out there to go out and help your receiving core than there are at the pass rushing spot. However, guys, this is Andy Reid. You have Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you're ever going to get to a point where you're going to say, we're good at receiver. Last year, you had two first-round picks. You went defense with both of them. And you got two day-one starters in Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. That doesn't mean that you're not going to keep trying to add to that. But as it currently stands, the only receivers that we know are going to be playing for Kansas City next year are Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That doesn't exactly strike fear into the eyes of your defenders, even knowing that it is Patrick Mahomes. So,
hey, think about this, too. Last year, 10 picks is what they had. They took one receiver. Mm-hmm. That was Sky Moore. So one out of the 10. And Isaiah Pacheco was the only other offensive skill position taken in the draft. Darian Kennard, the tackle, was taken. But 7 of the 10 picks were on the defensive side. They went heavy defense in last year's draft. I feel that this year will be a heavy offensive draft.
So I'll just tell you guys right now who I'm looking at, okay? At receiver, there are two names that I'm laser-focused on. Jalin Hyatt out of Tennessee and Josh Downs out of North Carolina. I'll tell you this right now. If the Chiefs select Josh Downs out of North Carolina, it is not going to be a popular pick. You know why? Because he is 5'9", he's a 170, he is a little, speedy, shifty playmaker. Who does that remind you of? A guy who's a free agent right now who the Chiefs probably aren't going to resign. His name is Mecole Hardman, right? Now, Mecole Hardman had the top-end speed. Josh Downs doesn't have that. But when you go back and you look at his highlight from North Carolina, he doesn't play like he's 5'9". He is open at will. His change of direction, his shiftiness, that is the prototype for an Andy Reid receiver. You may not like it because we all want the big, physical, over-the-top possession receivers that end up being, you know, the first-team all-pro guys in the NFL. But in Andy Reid's offense, the main objective is get open and do something with the ball in your hands. Josh Downs kind of fits both of those benchmarks, which is why he's a name I've kind of been focused on lately.
And the one thing, too, he played with good quarterbacks. Because North Carolina's been a factor. There was Sam Howell. I mean, he'll probably be the starter in Washington this year. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this year you have Drake May, the quarterback at North Carolina. He's probably going to be a Heisman. What would you say? Would you say top three Heisman guy next year at least?
Yeah, it'd be a top three pick next year as well.
So
I like it. Josh Downs, I think, fits what they want. But, like, for me, and we talked about this last week, I want the guy that's got the really high upside,
mm-hmm.
who has the ability to be the elite player, and who, like, who's going to be, like, more likely to be the elite player. And I still lean Jalin Hyatt there.
Well, here's the thing with Jalin Hyatt is he also fits what the Chiefs want, which is yes. elite speed.
Yeah.
Now, there is a question in his game, the same way there's a question with Josh Downs, which is, are you going to develop the elite route running skills? Are you a one? I think the same questions that it reminds me a lot of what people were wondering about DK Metcalf coming out of college. Now, right. These guys are not built the same.
No. Yeah.
But it was the same idea. You have breakaway speed. You have game-changing speed. But do you have anything besides a go route? Well, fast forward about 3 years. I think that question's been answered pretty definitively.
Yeah, yeah.
DK Metcalf found a way to make some things happen in the NFL. So I'm kind of with you, but it does scare me a little bit. Being 6 foot, what is he, about 175
pounds? 175
pounds,
yeah.
You have to gain some weight, which would be easy to do with the Chiefs. We've seen like Tyreek Hill come in here and gain some weight.
It's different when you go from a college strength and conditioning program to a professional one. A lot of times your metabolism will slow down too, so you're going to be able to gain weight easier as you get older. So like the weight thing isn't too much of an issue. Plus the Chiefs, they don't really care about the big, you know, big muscular wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the reasons why people weren't so keen on DK was also because they thought he was too muscular and they thought that would slow him down and hurt him on the field. So.
Turns out that
it didn't matter, but it was a concern that some teams had about.
Let me ask you guys this. Neither one of you, I haven't heard either one of you guys really fighting hard for an edge rusher here. Do you think wide receiver is a bigger need at this spot at pick 31 than edge?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of nice names here, guys, at the edge spot. I mean, I'm looking at Will McDonald IV. I'm looking at Enudike Uzoma from K-State. I don't know. I mean,
if they didn't go out and get Charles Omenihu,
B.J. Ojulari.
If they didn't bring in Omenihu, because he's going to be the starter on the other side of Karloftis. If they didn't go out and sign him, then yes, that would be a pressing need in the round one. Because I do feel the quality of the edges you can get at 31. You're not going to see that quality of edge. I told you before that in the last 2 years, you had to draft really within the top 16 to 18 to get a quality edge guy.
I agree with you, Bink, on that. If they had not gotten Omenihu, I would be advocating more for an edge rusher. But because they got him...
He's only 25.
He's only 25. I mean, I think they see a lot in him. All you've heard about is how much he could be a breakout player this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also think that they're probably not done getting edge rusher as far as free agency goes. They could bring in another veteran guy. So, like, To me, I think we could wait on edge rusher. So okay. That's why I'm not fighting.
All right, I'm not going to overthink this.
In a minute, he was what? Top five in pressures last year.
Yeah, he's really good.
He had a limited time, so yeah.
And he's very versatile, too, which they really like.
Okay. And as I said, I do feel they're going heavy offense.
I'm not overthinking this. I'm between Josh Downs and Jalen Hyatt. Josh Downs, to me, seems like maybe a little bit too much of an overlap with Sky Moore. That's kind of the same receiver you drafted last year.
Here's the big problem.
MVS has one more year on his contract. This Jalen Hyatt could be a potential MVS replacement a year from
now. Agree. The only problem is you don't have the X, like Sammy Watkins, the good blocking receiver. Juju filled that role for the Kansas City Chiefs. Really, when you slot it, I mean, yeah, I want Hyatt. Hyatt is what the Chiefs are. That is what the Kansas City Chiefs are.
And I will say this, too.
And he's the Blitnikoff winner.
I'm making this pick, Jalen Hyatt, believing full and well that by the time the draft comes around, the Chiefs will have acquired a wide receiver. Whether that is DeAndre Hopkins, whether that is Odell Beckham Jr., whether that's Elijah Moore from New York, I don't know who it's going to be. I would be shocked if between now and April 26th, the Chiefs haven't done anything to address their wide receiver.
Here's the thing.
There are three receivers on the team, Chris. You have to do something.
I mean, I'm not talking about like not getting another wide receiver. I'm talking about like getting someone that would be like a high impact guy. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't get a guy like D-Hop or, you know, Elijah Moore or anybody like that. I would not be shocked.
I mean, you can't go into next season with...
I can see them
Kadarius Toney being your number one.
I can see them piecemealing that position.
But here's the deal. Jalen Hyatt, for all intents and purposes, is probably a second rounder. But when you're picking 31, you're essentially picking right at the top of the second round. Whether he goes pick 40, whether he goes pick 45, 31, doesn't matter. If he's the best player you feel is available... I like Jalen.
Okay, so here's what I'm going
to do. Personally, I like it.
I'm going to lock this in, and to add to your point, Jay, I hear a lot of people saying that with like criticizing these draft prospects and saying, well, you know, he's undersized. Well, he doesn't weigh enough. Well, he's not as sharp of a route runner. Well, he had issues with drops. You're the defending Super Bowl champs, okay? If you want one of the best players in the draft, then go 6-11 next year. Get a top 10 pick, and then you can go out and get JSN. But you're the defending Super Bowl champs. You're picking 31st. Turns out these aren't the absolute best prospects in the field. So you take what you can get. You trust your development.
Last year with Christian Watson every time and get ridiculed from that.
You love Christian Watson.
All right, so we're locking in Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver out of Tennessee at pick number 31. So
I'm for it.
4-2.
Okay, so now we are simulating to the Chiefs' next pick, which, Jay, you will be picking at selection number 63 at the end of the second round. So here is your board. What are you going to be targeting here, Jay?
Well, I'd like to go tight end here because this is a great tight end class. If you're going to do it this year. Has Tucker Kraft been picked yet?
Tucker Kraft has not been picked. If I'm looking at the top of the board here, according to Pro Football Focus, some of the top names are Sam Laporta, Iowa, that's a tight end factory. Yep. Tucker Kraft, who you just mentioned, tight end out of South Dakota State, as well as Luke Shoemaker from Michigan, and the combine darling, perhaps, Zach Kuntz out of Old Dominion.
I'm gonna go Tucker Kraft. I really liked him, and I got to see him a little bit in the FCS playoffs this year because everybody's talking to this guy could be drafted. He's 6'5", 254. 6'5", 256 was Dallas Goedert. Where'd Dallas Goedert go? Second round. What's he doing in the NFL? Tight end. He's 6'5", 256. Both of them went to South Dakota State. Not saying he could be Dallas Goedert, but he could be even better than Dallas Goedert. In my opinion, it's a guy that can block, can
you catch. You just said not someone that could be Dallas Goedert, but he could be better than Dallas Goedert.
Let's go there. I'm going tough. My decision would be Tucker Kraft, tight end, South Dakota State. He will be a second rounder.
Wow, you were so much quicker in your breakdown than I was.
What's this?
I
took like 5 minutes. He's probably been mocking for the last 2 months now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's probably like got a list.
I got a list too. It's gonna be a decision. But so, Tucker Kraft, if he was available, that was going to be my choice because I'm going to go, like I said, heavy offense. I'm going receiver, then tight end.
Well, with Tucker Kraft, he's extremely productive in college, and that's something. I don't really pay a ton of attention to how productive were you throughout your four-year career. It's more so as a pass catcher, when did you start to see the breakout? Like, at what age were you? Because, like, I think that's something that translates a little bit more than necessarily, like, show me what you did for 4 years. And this guy was, of all the tight ends, like, extremely productive as a junior, or as a sophomore, 65 catches, 773 yards. 6 touchdowns, 6'5", 255. He is a prototype downfield threat at tight end. And that's a position, Jay, that sometimes takes 2 or 3 years before guys really start getting comfortable because of the transition. I think that's more stark than a lot of other positions making the jump from college to pros.
And it's at the FCS level. A lot of people shy away with that. Bob mentioned, you know, Christian Watson last year, North Dakota State, just fine in the National Football League this year. And again, like I said, Dallas Goedert came out of South Dakota State as well. They're nearly the identical size. And when you think about somebody, and listen, I like Noah Gray and his development with the Chiefs. I do know the Chiefs like running a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets. But Tucker Kraft's a guy that I could see, because eventually you're going to have to draft a replacement for Travis Kelce. Everybody's been lucky so far because he's been healthy. But when's the end for Travis going to hit? And, you know, would this be a second contract guy? Because it's probably going to have to be a second contract guy if you're waiting for Kelce. I believe Tucker Kraft could be the next best tight end on this roster.
I don't.
How do we feel about drafting two pass catchers with the first two picks?
Oh, I mean, at this point, considering they got Omanihu, I actually don't have an issue with it. Because I think at this point now, you have to think about your long-term future with the draft here. And you know that Kelce, he's going to be 34 in October. You can't take him for granted here. So you have to bring in the next generation of star players that could play with Mahomes. And I think if you feel like Kraft fits that mold, which if you look at scouting reports, he's a guy that is probably going to be more so lined up out as a more in a receiver spot, like a slot spot, as opposed to, you know, like straight online as a tight end. He can run routes. He can catch. He's got very good catch radius. And on top of that, he's a guy that can be a yards after the catch kind of guy, which is one of Kelce's biggest strengths as a tight end. So I think he kind of fits what you like from him. So I like the pick a lot. I think that at this point, again, you want to give Mahomes as many weapons as possible because your offense is your strength, your quarterback is your strength. So I like it. So
yeah, they run a lot of 12 personnel too. Two tight ends in the game that won
a lot of 12 personnel.
How much of an impact do you think he makes in year one? Because going back to the needs overall as a team, right? You still, even if you don't think it's a top priority, you still do need to add probably an edge rusher somewhere along the way. Knowing how Spags likes to rotate guys in. We still don't know about right tackle. I know a lot of people think it's going to be Lucas Niang or Darian Kennard, but we don't have any evidence to suggest that either of those guys are long-term
options
at right tackle.
Could be Taylor Lewan.
Right, yeah, I guess it could be if you think he would make the move to right tackle, right? Because it seems like they're pretty sold with DeJuan Taylor being left tackle, right? Okay, so just throwing that out there, just kind of painting the scene of what the priority is going to be now that you have added wide receiver.
It's too good of a tight end class. It's too good of a tight end class.
It's really strong. Yeah.
It really is. And you look at the tight ends and you think, all right, this is the year. I mean, if you're going to do it, it's reach in other years. This year is not a reach. Tucker Kraft said at that top end of tight ends, I feel, that would go in the second round. And it's something the Chiefs need. It's about getting Patrick Mahomes weapons, because as I talked to you guys last week, I said, name the second best wide receiver that he's had. Sammy Watkins or Juju, right? I know that the Tucker's a tight end, but again, it's a big part of the offense with Andy Reid.
The only guy I think I would want to take here at that spot, Sam Laporta, tight end from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only guy. Tucker Kraft, really, really good option here. So I like him a lot, and I trust Binks.
Turns out Iowa has a pretty good history.
The tradition of developing
tight ends.
So if you want to, if Laporta would be the only would be another option I would have, but I really like Tucker Kraft here.
Laporta is a little bit faster, not as good of a blocker. Has quite a ways to go as a blocker, and he's 6'3" compared to 6'5".
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have the height and length on him.
I do like Tucker Kraft after the catch here.
Yeah,
and I think he's a better blocker, which I feel that they're probably going to need.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. They don't ask Kelce to do quite as much blocking as, like, you know, like the Niners do with Kittle, or you've seen like Waller did with when he was with the Raiders last few years. They've been relying more on their backup tight ends to do more of that, like Blake Bell and Noah Gray. So I don't think that would be as much of an issue. Plus, you know, he's going to have time to develop. But yeah, I'm still cool with Tucker Kraft.
And Darnell Washington is off the clock, isn't he?
He's absolutely not.
Yeah, he's gone a long time ago.
The top listed tight end on there was Laporta. So
was he?
Yep. Darnell was not there.
Okay, so Chris, now you are on the clock. Third round, pick number 95. Wide receiver taken in the first round. Tight end taken in the second round. Where are you going here in three?
All right, so first, pull up the list of running backs real quick. I want to look at something real quick.
Okay. So running back, interesting here. Got a few names on here. Tank Bigsby, a name that's probably familiar to a lot of people listening from Auburn. You've got Kondre Miller from TCU. There's Deuce Vaughn out there. There's Dwayne McBride from UAB. What kind of running back are you looking for here, Chris?
Well, the guy I was looking for is gone. Would be Devon Achain. I would have really loved him get there, but he's not on the list. So could you put it back on the...
So you're done with running back. You were targeting your guy. He's not there.
He's not. The value isn't there. Okay, so Nathaniel Dell is there, is the top listed
he's a wide receiver from Houston. Do we want edge here? Do we want offensive tackle? We're not really going to go three.
I'm probably not going to go offensive tackle here at this point now. It's a little risky. I'm kind of leaning towards Travius Hodges-Tomlinson, the cornerback out of TCU. You're at this point now where usually the Chiefs are pretty adamant. They're pretty like obvious about who they want to keep on the team. I don't know if the Chiefs are really going to go out there and spend money like that on a L'Jarius Sneed.
Hmm.
So I feel like you're probably going to want to load up on corner, and this is a perfect spot because you don't need a corner this year. You're picking third round. You've got you went out and you loaded up on corners last year, but if Sneed ends up leaving, which I think a lot of people here think he might be because the team hasn't really made a concerted effort to try and re-sign him. I like a guy like Travius Hodges-Tomlinson. I think that at some point you could see McDuffie move outside because he's typically the team's top slot corner. Hodges-Tomlinson probably projects more as a slot corner than anything. So I think you could put him there. You could put McDuffie on the outside, and then you kind of shore up a little. You get a little bit more security there in your secondary. I kind of feel like you want to load up on there. So I'm kind of leaning towards Hodges-Tomlinson right now.
I think he fits the profile, certainly. He's undersized, super, super explosive athlete. He ran a 4.41.
Yeah.
At the combine, he had a 39-inch vertical. So he is one of the more athletic and explosive cornerbacks that tested at the combine.
And the Chiefs love the more athletic type players anyways, especially at corner. They love the athletic types.
Well, just look at what they did last year. I mean, look at what they did last year.
His height does concern me a little bit.
Yeah, and that's why you want him in. That's why you want him in the slot as opposed to the outside.
But that's exactly what. That's the exact reason that Trent McDuffie fell to them last year is because he was a little bit undersized compared to, you know, the Sauce Gardeners of the world. Yeah. What do you think about corner here, Bink?
I'm all right with it because this league is so pass heavy, and when you think about the quality quarterbacks in the AFC and the quality quarterbacks Chiefs will see this year, you know, they're going to see Burrow. They're going to see Josh Allen.
You're going to see Aaron Rodgers if that trade gets done.
You're going to see Rodgers. So they're going to see a good quarterback play this year. So never shy away from defensive backs.
And this was a guy that was like a lot of people projected to be a first-round corner up until the season started. He had issues with penalties and whatnot, so that kind of dropped his profile. But he was a guy that a lot of people thought could be a first-round corner. So the biggest thing with his game is his size. And sometimes he relies too much on being physical as opposed to his technique.
But he's so explosive.
But he's an incredible athlete, and the Chiefs love incredible athletes. So to me, I think he fits what they like.
Yeah, and I think that that's one thing that the Chiefs are so good at as well is drafting a year ahead. Right? They're not always looking at their current picture. And I know a lot of times it's easy from the outside to look in and say, how does this guy impact the team right now? How does he impact the team year one? And you go back to last year's draft, and it worked out great because I mean, how many of those dudes had, I mean, basically all of them, with the exception of Darian Kennard, played vital roles on a Super Bowl run. That's the outlier more than it is the expectation. I think most of the time you're drafting guys with the expectation that maybe in year one, we'll bring you along, we'll try to get you involved. But year two, we may have decisions to make elsewhere on the roster when, at that point, we are going to be looking for you to step up and see an increased role on this team. And I think cornerback would be a perfect solution because I love what L'Jarius Sneed does. He is sort of the do-it-all guy. He is the Swiss Army knife for Steve Spagnuolo's secondary. But you have to look at the next couple of years. You're going to have to extend or make a decision on, Creed Humphrey, you're going to make a decision on Trey Smith. What are you going to do with Joe Tooney? Is he somebody you're going to be looking to re-sign? Nick Bolton, Willie Gay Jr., Chris Jones is probably getting an extension this offseason. You can't pay everybody, and you're going to have to make decisions. Cornerback, historically speaking, is one of those positions the Chiefs have seen as dispensable as opposed to a few other spots.
And I think Spags, being a former defensive backs coach, really helps. He really gets involved.
He's very confident in his ability
in the draft, drafting of defensive backs. They really use his advice on things.
Okay, so I actually love the way that this has worked out for me now, because I am up next at pick number 122, and I'm hoping my guy is here, and I'm looking for him, and I have found my guy, guys, and this excites me a lot. Because at number 122, my eyes immediately go to one of the more exciting prospects at this stage in the draft. That is Yaya Diaby, who is a defensive lineman out of Louisville. This guy tested off the freaking charts at the combine. So he is a little bit undersized for what I think the Chiefs might try to do with him. And he's a little bit old for this class. He is, I think, going to be 24.
He's about to be 24.
He's about to be 24 by the time the season begins. He's 6'3", 263, but we are talking about insane athleticism and explosion. He runs a 4.5 40, 37-inch vertical. By the way, those are in the 98th and 94th percentiles among his position group. 10-yard splits, 1.56. That's the 96th percentile. Again, these are all... These are combine numbers, right? These are not pro days with assistant coach over there with the stopwatch in his hands. These are combine numbers. This guy is a freak athlete, and he fits exactly what Steve Spagnuolo likes to do defensively. We just talked about it with Charles Omenihu. What does he want with defensive linemen? I want you on the outside. I want you on the inside. I want to be able to move you around. I want to be able to do different things with you. Omenihu might be a part of this team long-term. George Karlaftis, you hope is. Chris Jones, we think, is going to get a contract extension. But I'm not trying to get too cute with it. And try. Like, I know it's really easy to look, okay, you lost Frank Clark. Let me get another undersized speed rusher, bendy, around the edge. And if that guy's there, then maybe you take him. But we're talking about round four now, guys. I want someone who just kind of fits the prototype. Yaya Diaby's that guy for me.
I agree with you. I'll stay with you. Who did you go with in the third round?
Third round, I went with Travius Hodges-Tomlinson.
Okay.
Bink, how you feeling right now? I see a lot of scribbling over there on the notepad.
No, I like what we're doing, because the first two picks are obviously offensive skill positions, and that's fine. I think the first two, you definitely hit with there. And, yeah, I think there's more room for defense here, and we went a little edge there with Yaya, so why not?
I like the pick because, as you brought up, he had an incredible physical profile at the combine. One of the guys, like a couple weeks ago, we were doing our post-combine show. He's one of the names I brought up that, like, really did himself a lot of favors at the combine, because I'm pretty sure most people had never heard of this guy up until he just started going out there and he killed it at the combine. So I do like his. The Chiefs have shown, once they get to like third day, they have shown that they really like guys with the elite physical profiles that they feel like they can coach up. And so to me, if you look at someone like him, he's got all of the measurables you really like. You just need to coach him up. And so I think this is a good roll of the dice here on a guy who seems to have an NFL level of physical talent.
So this is an interesting little pocket of the draft here, because that was pick 122, by the way. I'm locking that in. And that was a pick that the Chiefs got via the Tyreek Hill trade. So that was originally the Miami Dolphins pick, and the Chiefs are actually now on the clock again, just 12 picks later. So who knows by draft day if they actually are selecting twice? Maybe this is an area where you
try to trade out
and trade up. Who knows? But as it currently stands, the Chiefs here with two picks within a 13-spot span here. So, Bink, what are you looking at pick 134?
A couple of things. Wide receiver, defensive line. I think when you're looking at defensive tackles for this team, obviously they like to rotate guys in and out. We've talked about the edge there. Can you supplant somebody on that line? They've done such a great job with the defensive line. Guys like Mike Dana can play inside and outside. So basically wide receivers list here, Nick, and also defensive tackles, because I might go defensive tackle there, actually.
Okay, so now we are going to, that's what I love about the Pro Football Focus mock draft. You can sort it specifically by multiple positions. Do I have that over defensive tackle or is that offensive tackle? I can't quite see. Is that DT right there that I'm hovering over? Defensive interior, I think, is what they have it on. There we go. So now I've got it sorted by wide receiver.
Oh, I know.
And defensive interior.
I see a guy I like.
Better get this right, Pink.
Well, the one guy I do like is Cameron Young, but he must be taken at this point. If we scroll down a little bit and see if Cameron Young out of Mississippi State is still there, that's kind of who I would go for in this situation. But I don't think Cameron.
I think he's gone.
And Cameron is gone here.
Yeah, well, there's another Mississippi State guy, or there's an Ole Miss guy. You can take him for a consolation prize.
What do they have? Why do they have Ronnie Bella?
Hey, there's your guy right there.
Cameron Young. Yeah, I do like Cameron Young.
Tell us about Cameron Young.
It might be a little too early for him. Cameron Young is one of those guys that he decided to play in this bowl game because of Mike Leach, Mississippi State. I mean, not incredibly fast, 5'1", but we're talking about a guy that's over 300 pounds. He was 6'3", but his arms, 34.5-inch arms. And him playing defensive tackle, you're thinking about hands being raised, knocking down balls at the line of scrimmage. But that arm length is not something you always get with defensive linemen. He's also one of those guys that takes on blockers extremely well and can get into the backfield. And linebackers love playing behind him because they can flow and do what they do. And obviously bringing in Drew Tranquil, of course, Nick Bolton back there, and Willie Gay. So a guy like this that I think can take off blockers is somebody you need. So Cameron Young out of Mississippi State would be my pick here.
So just to give some context to what you're talking about there, 6'3", 304, so about average size. He has an arm span of 82 3/8 inches. That is amongst the 85th percentile amongst defensive tackles, defensive linemen. But yeah, a 5'1", 40, which again, it's nothing. It's 52nd percentile. So we're talking very, very average in terms of speed, athleticism, but long arms. So that's back to back. You locking in Cameron Young?
Yeah, he had two pass breakups and an interception as a defensive tackle. It's pretty good for a guy on the line.
And let's just, let's take a step back here for just a second because we're now into round four. We're about to be on round five when Chris makes his next pick. So what type of player are you targeting at this stage in the draft? How does your focus as a GM shift here when you're getting into the later rounds and you're no longer looking at the elite prospects in the class?
I think it's best available when you get to this point into the fifth round.
But what's the hope? Like, what's the hope?
Who can play? You know, Josh Williams taking the fourth round. Is there a Josh Williams type player that you can see actually contributing to your football team and helping? And again, it's how you look at these. I mean, Jalen Watson was a seventh round pick. Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh round pick. Do you see these picks? And Brett Veach has valued these guys. As I said, 21 and 22 still on the roster the last 3 years in the draft.
I don't think it's just like who can play. I think it's who. It's more so like who has the physical profile that if we coach them up, they can be an NFL player. If not, like maybe not like a great player. Like I'm certainly, I don't think the Chiefs thought that they were going to get what they got out of Jalen Watson or Isaiah Pacheco last season. They probably thought maybe somewhere down the line that could be that, but they didn't. I don't think they thought that immediately. And for them to get the kind of production that they did goes towards their coaching. But I think they looked at those guys and like these guys have the elite physical profile to play at this level. The Chiefs on the third day typically like to take some shots in the dark, if you will, at guys. He tested well at the combine. He showed a lot of good athleticism on tape, but maybe didn't quite have the production or maybe didn't play at the level that we'd like him to. Or maybe he played at a smaller school and just got kind of discounted because of where he played at and who he played against. And that works against him. But if they show enough athletic ability on tape, I think that's where the Chiefs like to go after. Like a Joshua Kando, who was incredibly athletic but didn't produce a whole lot because of injuries at Florida State.
So just real quick, Bink,
been redshirted.
You said you'd mentioned when you made this pick that this may be a little bit early for him, and you also, as we were scrolling the Pro Football Focus mock draft database here, you saw Ronnie Bell, local product, wide receiver out of Michigan, and you kind of scoffed, like, what's he doing on here? So can you just like give me some?
It was between them both, between the wide receiver and defensive line. I'm just looking at defensive tackles, thinking about rotation guys, good guys against the run. Some of the Chiefs really improved on this year, top 10 run defense.
So this is maybe a case of he might be available in the next round, but if you like him, might as well just go get him because he's a guy you've identified.
In the fifth and sixth round, I definitely want to hit receivers again.
Okay, so
Cameron Young is too hard to pass up
we
here.
Are locking
a nose tackle
in.
That can play on the, all over the defensive line.
Cameron Young, nose tackle out of Mississippi State.
So you guys good with that?
Yeah, hey, I'm cool with it.
Hey, it's your pick, man. It's your pick. We are just innocent bystanders hurling in our suggestions from the peanut gallery here. So next pick for Chris. Now, by the way, we've got five picks still remaining, so we're only halfway done with this draft, but I'd imagine we're going to move a little bit quicker here. Pick 166, Chris. Where are you going?
Okay, so first off, there's two positions I'm looking at here. One wide receiver, one is edge rusher. Because there's one guy, there's a couple guys I really like.
Okay, so I feel like we're sensing a trend here, guys. We're looking at about three positions here over and over, which I don't have a problem with because it's the only positions I feel like anybody's talking about.
So it's now, the only positions the Chiefs really need.
I think it's dangerous when you get edge in the middle rounds like
this. Yeah. So,
but if you don't prioritize it early, you have to do something.
And this is the part where you really focus on like the physical aspect more than anything.
I think I know where you're going with this one.
Where am I going? Where am I going? Where do you think I'm going?
I see a man, much like yourself, with two last names, two words in that last name. You mentioned the word physical. He is perhaps the most physically gifted person we saw test at the combine. Wide receiver out of West Virginia, Bryce Ford Wheaton.
That's exactly the receiver I was thinking about. That's the receiver I was thinking about. I'd say this. It was funny. The first week of the season for college football, I was watching West Virginia play Pitt. And I was watching it because who's the edge rusher out of Pitt?
Stills?
No, not Stills.
West Virginia. Habaduke
or something like that. I can't remember his name. But he was projected to be a potential first-round pick. He didn't play like one this year. But when I was watching that game, the guy that jumped off the screen to me was Bryce Ford Wheaton. I was like, this kid can play. Mm-hmm. Kancey, too. Kancey was really good. But Bryce Ford Wheaton really jumped off the screen to me. And I like watching him was just like, he looks like the kind of Andy Reid type wide receiver. If you catch him in space, if he gets the ball in space, he's electric.
Can I give you some numbers here real quick for Bryce Ford Wheaton? So at the NFL Combine, Bryce Ford Wheaton, 6'3", 220. By the way, that is premier size for an NFL wide receiver. Had a wingspan of 82.5 inches. That is 98th percentile amongst all wide receivers. As for his athletic testing, 4.38 40. He had a 41-inch vertical, 96th percentile. A 129-inch broad jump, that's a 92nd percentile. I mean, we are talking about elite, elite size and athleticism.
Anybody 6'4" can run a 4.38. That's Christian Watson.
You're going to turn some heads.
6'4" runs a 4.36.
Now, the flip side is he just did not have the production in college to match it, which is why, because of that athleticism, he's not somebody who's being mentioned amongst like a day one guy.
So that's why he's late. You know? He's late third.
But he is a guy in the red zone.
Yes.
The way he can get in the air.
Yeah, the way he can get in the air, yeah. And so, like, he's one guy. The other guy I'm looking at is an edge rusher from San Jose State named Viliami Fehoko. He 6'4", 276. He can play edge, but the reason why I liked him is because a lot of people think that he could move inside and play as a three tech on the defensive line. But we've taken like what
we just went
two or three.
We just went two
line.
In a row.
We just went two in a row. So now I'm leaning. I'm gonna go with Bryce Ford Wheaton here. To me, you watch him on tape. This is months before the combine. And I just see someone with the kind of elite physical profile that he does. And to me, I was immediately like, if the Chiefs could get him on the third day, this dude's going to be a steal. I thought he might work his way up to the second day, but just didn't have the kind of production there. But I think in the Chiefs system, he could be very, very productive.
I think so, too. I think somebody can get on the field a lot quicker.
Yes.
I always worry about some of the edge rushers, defensive linemen. When you get this late, unless you're a defensive tackle, I worry about him getting on the field.
Yes. Yeah, and I think he could get on the field. And I think the biggest thing is, like, he could at some point develop into an outside wide receiver. Because you see guys that are his size and you think they're not that fast. But he could probably beat most corners in the league in straight line speed. So the big thing is, can he develop his route running? Is he going to be consistent at catching the football? If he could do those things, he's going to be incredible just because of what he has physically.
Okay, so now we're at an interesting spot because we have only taken guys on the defensive line. We have taken pass catchers, and we've taken one secondary player. So where do we go from here, guys? Because we know, as we like, there's going to be a surprise position. Maybe not necessarily early in the draft, but there's going to be a position that maybe you don't view as being a priority that the Chiefs are going to target, whether that be running back, whether that be inside linebacker. We still have not touched offensive line. Do we think the Chiefs get this far into the draft without going after somebody to bolster that right tackle spot?
If there is like someone who had like a Darian Kennard type physical profile, incredible arm length, hand size, height, weight, etc., then I could see them doing what they did last year where they move back up to try to get that guy. I don't know who that guy is, though. So, I mean, at this point now, the Chiefs are known to take shots in the dark. They did that with Trey Smith, where he had great physical profile, some health concerns, and so he fell to the sixth round. But, I mean, aside from that, I don't know who would be in that spot to where the Chiefs would move up and take someone on the O-line.
Because there is part of me that wants to go O-line here, but I feel like I kind of missed the boat. You know, I feel
you probably did.
But that's not to say the Chiefs are going to like just be like, oh, well, all the good ones are gone, so we'll just add nobody. Like, they're going to do something, right?
You can go running back.
Because
I
think you also have to plan for the idea that when Joe Tooney's contract's up, you may need to replace a left guard. He is the highest paid left guard in the NFL. If you are really dead set on paying Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, that means Joe Tooney's probably not getting a contract extension in Kansas City. Do you start planning ahead for trying to get somebody in there to take over for him? This would be the prime spot to do it, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a guy that they would really, really like, yeah, I could see that.
Someone to develop like Kennard did last year. Didn't play.
And I could see them also deciding to try Kennard at that spot as well because he was a guard in college. And I think they really like him. I just don't think that they think he's ready to play, but maybe they get more confident in him as camps go along in the offseason, and maybe they decide to try him out there at some point.
I'm really torn right now. I'm really torn right now. Because I feel like this is the part of the draft where you start just looking at getting names that you recognize and say, okay, running back, you could always add to that room. Jerick McKinnon's probably not going to be back, but based off the success they had with drafting Pacheco last year, do you really make that a priority when you have more pressing needs and knowing there's going to be value at that position later in the draft? I just keep coming back to offensive line. I keep coming back to the idea that you just don't know who's going to be there a year from now, 2 years from now, and I feel like that's what I want to do. And the one name that popped out to me is, I wanted to go with Luke Haggard out of Indiana. Okay, here he is right there at the top. I scrolled past him. I didn't see him. This is a guy who had a big improvement going into his senior year. He was not much of an NFL draft prospect as a junior. And then last year, all of a sudden, saw a big improvement in his game. He gave up 10 quarterback hurries as a junior in 2022 at left tackle. Maybe you move him to right tackle and he gets in that mix a year from now, 2 years from now, with who knows who's going to be competing for that spot. I mean, I know that Lucas Niang is a popular name. We saw him 2 years ago. Last year he played six snaps, so I don't know. I think we're kind of grasping at straws here.
But he's got the versatility. Andy Reid wants versatile. Yeah. Can you play guard? Can you play tackle in a pinch? Or can you even play center, like an Allegretti that played some center when he was at Illinois? And he plays guard. Can you move him around?
Yeah, he's going to have to put on some weight. And he might even be an interior guy. You're talking 6'7", which is tall, but I mean, he doesn't even, not even 300 pounds. So he's going to have to put on a ton of weight. He's more of a project, but we're talking about a round five offensive lineman. There's not Trey Smith's in the fifth or sixth round every single year. So I think I'm going to go offensive line here, unless there's any major objections.
Nope. Okay. I don't have any issue with that.
Okay. Luke Haggard, you are a Kansas City Chief. Congratulations. Okay, so now three picks left, and Bink, you are going to be up now at pick 217.
The way that this board, I think, is going to go here, I think I kind of have an idea who he's going to get.
I mean, this is...
There's a name at the top.
I know, as I was saying. I told you.
I think I know where he's going. I don't think this is going to take very much time.
Well, here's the thing. I know you're talking about Stetson Bennett. Here's the thing about Stetson Bennett. Would it probably be more of a seventh round pick? I think so. Or when you're thinking undrafted guys. But it's guys who won back-to-back national champions. That just didn't happen in college football.
Not exactly a position of priority for Kansas City.
It's not a priority position, but here's the thing. You know, the Carson Wentz's and stuff like this. The Marcus Mariota went to the Eagles yesterday because the Chiefs were looking for a guy that had NFL experience to plug in. I think you're looking, that's pretty thin right now. But if you want a guy with some championship pedigree, a guy from the SEC that they covet, I wish one of these picks was in the seventh round for me. Because
would you like me to sort this by a position for you?
If it is any consolation, Bink, if I were you, I would take Stetson Bennett too.
Would you?
I think Stetson Bennett's going to be there in the seventh round, guys.
I don't know. I legitimately,
you know what? But here's my argument.
I think he will be in the seventh round.
But here's my argument for why you wait is because even if he's not, it's okay. I don't think the future of your franchise is going.
Oh no, it's not a future of your franchise type deal. It's just like, hey, let's develop like a good backup quarterback just in case something happens with Mahomes, and maybe they think they can turn that guy into a good quarterback for them as a in a one game scenario type situation. As you brought up, Bink, probably not the best year to go out and get a veteran backup because the veteran backup market isn't super great right now. So maybe you just decided to develop your guy in-house from the time he gets drafted. So maybe it is a better situation to do that there. So, I mean,
well,
like I said,
I don't think you guys will go with it the seventh round. If I don't get him here, I don't think you guys will.
I told you, if I were you in this situation, I would take him now. I've been doing mocks, and I've taken him in the sixth round.
But you know what? You should always throw darts at quarterbacks. Even teams with Tom Brady, even the Patriots kept throwing darts, you know, at quarterback, even though they had Tom Brady.
Because I agree with you, but if you're talking about throwing a dart, wouldn't you want to throw a dart at a guy like Dorian Thompson-Robinson out of UCLA? Like, if you're going to throw a dart at someone, is Stetson Bennett, who's 32, is he really the guy that you're going to throw a dart at?
Well, that means he's a veteran quarterback than if he's 32.
Scroll down just a little bit there.
Yeah.
Is DTR available there?
No, but it's just my point.
Well,
then
you can take him there.
Throw a dart in the fifth round on DTR.
I'm not throwing
DTR.
A dart in the fifth round on DTR.
Well, we're in the fifth round right now, and you want to throw a dart on Stetson Bennett.
Are we in the fifth round or the sixth round?
You're at the end of the fifth round.
End of the fifth round?
No, we're in the sixth round.
No, we're in the sixth round.
It's pick 217.
It's 217.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah, we're in the sixth round. Yeah.
Which is dangerously close to the seventh round.
You might as well just be in the seventh round.
In fact, one pick away.
One pick away from the seventh round.
So you might, at this point now, we're arguing some answers.
Stetson Bennett, quarterback Georgia.
I agree with it.
I knew it.
They need a good quality backup, but he's a quality backup. He's a winner.
I'll tell you this, before I was doing mocks, I was like, nah, they don't need Stetson. I'm cool with Stetson Bennett here.
All right.
I'm cool with him here.
As long as you guys are fine with it.
Okay, so we are now on to pick 249, Chris.
Okay, this is where we start shoring up the last issue I could see with the team. Could you go over to fullback real quick?
Fullback?
Don't do it.
Fullback.
I don't even think they sort it by fullback, man. It's just running back, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. That's cool. Because there's a guy I've been looking at here. Since seventh round at this point. Was that Hunter Luepke kid out of North Dakota State? Yeah, I want that guy.
Hunter Luepke.
They love having a fullback. They do not use the fullback that much. They love having one on their roster. Burton, they gave him the farewell tweet, so that means that he's not going to be on the team. I think that
he's already signed with Denver.
Yeah, so I'm saying right. they gave him the farewell tweet, you knew it was over. And he's like, what, 31? So at this point now, get younger, go get you a guy that you could develop in house who can get you like 5 carries a year, be a lead, you know, a lead blocker on your big running sets. And so to me, I think he's like the best option here. So
you know what,
which I have no problem with that.
You know the beautiful.
Oh yeah, you love those North Dakota State
The
guys.
Beautiful thing about this is that he will get 4 touches and 2 of them will be touchdowns.
2 will be touchdowns, and everyone will love him and want him to get the ball more. And then mm-hmm. he'll get the ball more, and then he'll be stopped on 3rd and 1.
He also ran the Wildcat there as well.
Yeah,
and he can play tight end as well. Yeah. He's 230 pounds. He's short for tight end, but he can go out there and play.
You could put him like H-back or something. Like he could do a lot of different things. But like to me, you got to stop going out and getting the 28-year-old fullbacks. Go out there and just get you one in the draft. Develop him. He's not going to cost that much anyways. It's a 7th-round pick. Take a shot in the dark.
All right, so
and
now
he can catch, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's important. You need you. The Chiefs really like running backs and fullbacks in general who can catch.
Okay, so now we are on to the last pick, guys. I started this puppy, and now I'm gonna end it with
At this point, you could just take the ultimate shot in the dark
with pick 250. Now this is a compensation pick, so it's the next pick after you. I like how I can take a shot in the dark. You picked one pick earlier as if that's less of a shot in the dark.
Oh, it totally was, but you could just whatever at this point. There's no more needs. We covered all the needs.
Okay, so this is a guy that I am picking purely off of combine performance and Twitter videos, okay?
Those infamous Twitter videos?
Listen, it's round 7. So you can do all the scouting you want. I'll do it my way. You do it your way. My guess is our success rate's going to be about the same.
About
unless
the same.
You yeah. are Brett Veach and you're drafting Jalen Watson and Isaiah Pacheco. And speaking of Isaiah Pacheco, who was a steal in round 1 last year, I am going to be looking at running back again. Now, you drafted a fullback. Let's get this perfectly clear.
He was the most outstanding player down the stretch in the playoffs, I do believe, for North Dakota State.
Yeah.
So we will.
I got production.
We are going to stick with that train. And a guy who specifically stood out to me because of his ability as a pass catcher at the combine, Evan Hull, running back from Northwestern. I don't know, I mean, outside of like Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, I don't know if there is a more natural pass catching running back in this draft than Evan Hull. I love the value here, being able to get him with the last pick of the draft. I just thought he looked really, really impressive in Indianapolis.
Evan Hull, you know, I have no problem with getting running back. Again, we don't know what's going to happen to Jarrett McKinnon, who was on a one-year contract at league minimum. I'd like to see him come back. I'd like to fill that room. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even mind a guy like a Leonard Fournette type, because 3rd-and-1, as good as Pacheco's been, it's that 3rd-and-1 that's been the hard part for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I mean, he's not... From a size standpoint, he's 5'10", 209, so he's not like super massive or anything, but he does have some skill sets you would like. The Chiefs, I think, probably should be looking at getting another running back. Like I said, I would have taken Devon a chain in the 3rd round if he'd have been there. So I certainly don't have an issue with running back. I think at some point they might take one higher than 7. They might take one in the 4th round for all we know.
Got to listen to Veach, his pre-draft press conference. Yeah. He's been on the money. Remember, these guys, they wasted these guys don't say anything. 2 years ago, he said the 2nd and 3rd round's a hot zone.
Yeah.
That's what he did to Orlando Brown trade. He got pick 58 for Nick Bolton. That was the hot zone. And this year, he said he could take someone 7th round or undrafted. Yeah, yeah. Maybe run for 1,000 yards. And
he thought he could. He thought he could find a franchise running back in the 7th round or undrafted.
For all the people who think GM's just a smoke out there, there's something to Veach.
All right, guys. So the draft is not complete. We have drafted our 10 players for the Chiefs. In case you were wondering, when you do a mock draft,
Evan Hull had 55 catches last year.
We get grades.
Yeah, you get grades. You get grades for each individual pick. You get grades for the entire draft. This is from Pro Football Focus. They run it through an algorithm based off of what their pros would do, based off what other people are mocking. And guys, we got a C+ for our mock draft today.
Sorry. So some of y'all guys were reaching.
Hey.
Y'all was reaching.
We were reaching?
Y'all was reaching. Look at the grades for my picks.
Oh, by the way, look at you.
I don't think they liked our first
picks.
Two.
Listen, you know what? Already, with the draft ended 60 seconds ago, and Chris is already pointing fingers, blaming us.
I will say this. The Jalen Hyatt is under. He's undervalued.
He got a D, and Tucker got a D minus.
I got a B+. I got a B+ for Travius Hodges Tomlinson. I got an A minus for Bryce Ford Wheaton. You got an A+ for Stetson, which believe me, I know.
Babe,
and then I got a B for Hunter. Look at this.
Yeah, but we all know me. This is crap. I would like most to see what they've had previous here. Year's guys. What Pacheco probably get this?
He probably got an F for Pacheco.
Hey, Chris, I'm at a bad angle from where I'm sitting. Can you read me the grade that they gave Cameron Young in the round 4?
Was that an F?
I
think he had a 6-round grade.
Notice they don't give out F pluses or F minuses.
Hey, but
just an F.
But I will say this though, Bink brought up the measurables aspect. Maybe you could get him later, but like
they like that hand size, man. They like guys who can bat the ball down.
Exactly. And all it takes is one team to convince themselves that he is someone that could be a very valuable contributor for them, and they'll take him earlier than where he's projected, especially on the third day. Like, at that point, the projections don't really mean a lot because teams are going to go out of their way to be aggressive to get guys like that.
Hey, and you have Chris Jones from Mississippi State. I mean, these guys look up to him.
But for the record, I got the best grades.
Well, and the important thing to remember here, guys, is that none of us, and not just the three of us in this room, but nobody, unless you are plugged in with NFL teams, have a fucking clue how this thing is going to go. So everybody is supposed to be having fun with this. We're looking at guys we like. We're looking at players we think fit the Chiefs. It will change a lot over the next month. It will change a lot over the next week. It's for fun. I want to implore anybody listening to go to Pro Football Focus, do a mock draft of your own, toy around with it, have some fun. If you think you can do better than us,
do it and send it to us.
Tag us on Twitter.
And I would have traded probably some of these positions. I would have.
No, we don't need to explain it. Hey, no, stand by your picks.
We agreed on no trade.
And this is lock solid, and we're going to do it.
But the next time we do it, we can negotiate our trade.
Yeah, so go do a mock draft of your own. Send it to us. If you think you can do better, I want to see it. So tag us. And maybe we'll even give you some feedback on next week's
episode.
But don't
send one with 11 picks.
Yeah, not 11.
Yeah.
10
picks. It better be the right number. It better be
11 picks. We ain't looking at it.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
And if you have the Chiefs trading like a fifth-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, I don't want that one either.
You can't force the trade. It has to be something that is allowed to have. You can't select force trade and then trade up to 15 by only giving up like a fourth-round pick. That's not going to happen.
All right, this was fun, guys. I'm sure we'll do another one of these coming up in a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll toy around with it. Maybe we'll do one of just the first round, or we'll do one where we do allow trades, or maybe there'll be some more free agent movement that will, you know, change things a little bit on the board. But this was fun, and we'll have this whole write-up on the website, 610sports.com, odyssey.com/610sports, so you can go check it out and watch some tape of these guys. We'll put some video up on there. Bink's going to throw that up, so you guys can go interact with that as well. So
right there at 610.com.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, check it out on our website. We'll tweet it out as well from 610sportskc on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, review wherever you're listening, and we will be back next week with another episode.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.